Welcome to episode 300. Who knew this was a milestone episode?
We made it.
Dang. Chris Lane is coming up. A good long interview with Chris, huh?
Yeah.
About an hour.
It was a good one.
Yeah, Chris Lane on never thinking he'd get married or have kids, and now he's both. Yeah. Also, he talks about Garth Brooks, Sean McCartrick, and going from playing baseball at a high level to landing a record deal, which he never thought he was going to actually get or even try to get. It's a pretty crazy story. I learned some stuff about Chris. So that's coming up in a little bit. But as always, let's check out the top five songs that I'm like, hey, that's really cool. Number five, Brett Young has a new album. It's called Weekends Look a Little Different These Days. Here is a new song called Not Yet. At number four, I really like this. This is Alanis Morissette. She released a cover of On the Road Again with Willie Nelson. On the road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway. I'm really feeling that one. That's a good one.
It's good.
Yeah. At number three, Tyler Farr has a new song. It is called Cover Girl. Hey, cover girl, shouldn't have to cover girl. Makeup hides but don't heal it. So damn tired of concealing. No, number two is Ashley Cook. She has a new song called Under. Got drunk under the neon lights, hung dirt up under 35s to go. Good one from Ashley Cook. Check her out. And number one, my favorite artist, John Mayer, has a new song called Last Train Home. Before we play it here, he announced on Tuesday he'll be releasing his eighth studio album titled Sawbrock on July 16th. It marks his first studio album since 2017's The Search for Everything. But here is a clip of Last Train Home. If you want to roll me, then you got to roll me all night long. You wanna use me, then you gotta use me till I'm gone. Very 80s sounding.
Yeah, do you like that sound?
I mean, it takes me back to like his second record. Well, Inside One Side. I don't know.
Overall, are you feeling his new sound as a big fan?
I don't know.
No?
I need to spend more time with
okay.
it.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't want to say yes because I don't want to say, here's why, because I don't want to say yes just because it's John Mayer, but I don't want to say no because I haven't, because it's John Mayer. I just need to invest a little more. It's like when Ben Folds puts something out and it's a little quirky. I'm like, I don't know. Do I love it or do I hate it? I really need to spend time with it.
Do you feel it's still in the same vein of his last album though?
No.
No?
No. He always puts little dinker and doinks and changing it up a little bit. I mean, even from Paradise Valley to, I mean, he did basically a country record at one point. Nobody called it country because this is years ago. But so we'll see.
So he's still not an automatic, no matter what he puts out, you're going to automatically love for you.
If there's anyone, it's him. But I don't want to say yes because I don't want to be that guy.
Okay.
But yes, yes. But I don't want to be that guy. So, but yes, I will love it, I'm sure. Albums out today. Walker Hayes has country stuff. Let's see. Billy Gibbons has Hardware. Liz Phair has Soberish. Rise Against has Nowhere Generation. I think that's it. BJ Thomas died at 78 years old. He is most known for Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head. So falling on my head. And just like the guy whose feet are too big. Speaking of Ben Folds, Ben Folds did a great cover of this song.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm. BJ Thomas passed away. Dylan Scott's Nobody hits number one, so congratulations. Gonna love you like it's a good song. Keith Urban has announced some new Vegas dates. He will pick up his Las Vegas residency at the Coliseum at Caesar's Palace in September. They're all September dates, 17, 18, 22, 24, and 25. Tickets on sale June 7th, so today, the 4th. So month. It's Monday.
Monday.
Okay. Monday the 7th. You may be listening to this on Monday. I don't know. And finally, a Florida concert promoter is using tickets to encourage COVID-19 vaccinations. A concert promoter in Tampa is offering a massive discount to vaccinated people. You can get a ticket to see Teenage Bottle Rocket for $18 if you're vaccinated. If you're not, $999. So there you go. Keith, Keith Urban's been hitting me up about my TV show.
Oh, really? What did he say?
Hit me up today. He's like, hey, I watched both episodes. They're great. And then he hits me up like 8 hours later. How many of those did you shoot? Like, I feel like he's genuinely interested.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Keith's a good guy. We're very sporadic in our friendship, meaning we'll talk a lot for a week. And then we won't hear from each other for 3 months. But mostly I think he just travels the world and goes and has cooler friends. I think I'm just like there you go. I think you're going to like this Chris Lane interview. I liked doing it. That's usually a good sign of if it's good or not. I hope you do. Please rate the show high. Give it 5 stars.
5 stars.
Please. Hey, listen, if you want good luck today, go over and give it 5 stars and write a nice comment. If you want bad luck today, don't.
Yeah.
But if you want good luck today, that's what you can do. All right. Thank you guys. Seriously. Here is the rest of the podcast. Here with Chris Lane. It's been a while since I guess we've... When's the last time we did anything together? Was it at my old condo?
Yeah.
In
downtown?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember that day.
That's a long time ago.
What was it, like a bathroom session thing?
Who knows what was happening then? I've grown. I've matured so much since then. I was watching either your Instagram or Lauren's Instagram, and we have two dogs, and right now we have roofers that are working on the house, and so they're boom, 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 and the dogs are freaking out all the time. So we have Stanley, who's the bulldog. He is at like a dog day camp. He stays there in the daytime when something's happening. Eller, she's in heat right now, which we couldn't get her fixed in time, so we're kind of balancing that.
Oh, my word.
But we're having to move dogs back and forth. And I was watching your Instagram. There's some place that drives up to your house.
Yes.
And they just like open up the back door and your dog just right down.
So Lauren and I used to live at 1212 there in the Gulch. And there was a guy who would come. I think the company's called Pet Pals. And they would come pick up all the dogs in the building. And we learned about this when we moved in. And he would pick them up, take them down to Franklin, where his business is, put them in this fenced-in area outside, and you can watch them play together all day long. Like, they love it so much. So when we moved to the house that we're in now, we thought, man, we still need to find a way, even if we have to drive them over to 1212 to get picked up. But he said, no, I'll drive to your house and pick them up. I got other dogs in the area. So he drives over to the house to pick them up. We usually do it once or twice a week, but most of the time on Fridays. And they know it well.
Yeah, I saw.
They go running out to that car. They jump in it. He takes them down there. He brings them back. At the end of the day, they're exhausted, which makes our lives easier at night when they just want to lay in their beds.
Yeah, it was like he almost like honked a horn or did something. And they were like, whoop. And you open the door and zoom right into the back of that van.
Yeah,
I probably watched that 3 times.
I know. We always say it. Leading into the next day, we're always like, who's ready to go to Pet Pals? And they get so excited. And one of the things that we look forward to as their parents, and something that they really look forward to as well.
Speaking of dogs, you walked in. I mean, we literally turned the mics on right when you walked in, so we haven't had a lot of time to catch up. But I was like, dang, look at you looking good, like all dressed up. You were doing some sort of flea and tick, some sort of dog thing.
Yeah. So a company called Seresto. I'm just doing something with them for National Best Friend Day that's coming up in just a few days.
Yeah, we work with Purina a lot.
Okay, yeah.
I do service dogs. I work with them in the service dog salute campaign they do. And then Caitlin does different things with Purina and Eller. And it's been pretty rewarding because, you know, we're also able to help them, you know, one, get dogs adopted and service dogs. But those dogs have become a massive part of our life.
Oh, my God. Dogs are the best. When we got ours, I actually did not want a dog because, I mean, as you know, you're gone all the time. It's hard. Like, for me, same thing. Like, going out on the road, Lauren was there or else she would come out on the road with me as well. And it's not necessarily the easiest fit in the world, but these two have been, and we've made it work, and it's been the best decision ever. Even when I said, man, we don't have the room for it, they've made both of our lives so much better.
I'm going to get to the dog graduation to the kid later, but I was, you know, I watch, and it seems like, and you got to tell me the thought process behind this, when you're putting out any song now, single or not, it always feels like a single.
Meaning, appreciate that.
Yeah, and that's a compliment, right?
Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
It always feels like a single, regardless of what it is. There's a whole, you're like dressed up like your dad's business, your lawn business back in the day, or you and Dustin, you know. So, like, when you're in your little creative meetings, because we all have them for different reasons. I have mine, too. And
sure.
is that kind of the game plan? Like every song release, you want to actually be like an event?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I've had two records up to this point, and it's been 3 years since my second record. I've only had out two. But this time around, like, we've tried certain things. I've learned what works for me and what doesn't necessarily work for me. And I think every artist goes through this. They figure it out along the way. I'm going to work towards a record at some point on this, but I'm taking a different approach this time around and really releasing singles. I think in the world that we live in now with Instagram, everybody's used to just swiping up and on to the next thing, new thing, whatever it is. You got to kind of stay top of mind. So I'm going to take that approach when releasing music now and kind of work towards a record. But when I write a song that I really like a lot or get a song that I really like a lot, it allows me to get into the studio, record it in that moment and kind of put it out whenever I want, opposed to being tied to a record or singles off a record. Because, you know, I had two singles off my last record, and that took 2 to 3 years to kind of go through a single cycle. And that's just kind of the life of a young artist on the radio. But, a different approach this time. Try to get songs to react like singles and figure out ways to hopefully make them do that.
As a consumer, that's what I like. Right.
Yeah, same here. I'm literally just doing what I like, just being new all the time, just dropping a new song whenever you want.
And I still like albums to a degree, right?
Sure.
I like albums from my favorite artists.
Yeah. I will say this. I feel like albums have worked for certain artists in this genre. I can only speak of because I don't know about other genres, but... I mean, you think about people like, Morgan, for an example, one of my label mates. I mean, he released a double album and obviously worked on a massive scale. Luke Combs, same thing. I mean, you know, Luke Bryan, Al Dean, all those guys can do that. But for me, I've learned what just to release a new song all the time might help my career grow faster.
Yeah, I like, and here's what's hard for me, is if there's somebody that I kind of like and they put out an album... Half the track is going to be lost on me. I'm not even going to invest my time.
I agree.
I may go click. Nah. I don't give it a fair shake if they're not my absolute favorite artist.
True.
And for an artist like yourself, who you're still a new artist, it's not like you have 10 million people sitting there waiting for a record. You have some for sure.
Yeah.
But I just, my whole point with that is I agree with the methodology of it.
Yeah.
And I also I can do a concept album too. Let's say if it's a newish artist. But I know it's a concept album, and I'm like, okay, let me see what I'm getting here. Like, I like concept albums, and I like my few favorite art, like a Casey or a John Mayer. That's about it. And then
you're
Old
a big
Dominion,
John Mayer fan,
yeah,
right?
Well, I like Old Dominion because all their songs.
Yeah, they're great.
Are good. But other than that, I'm just like, give me 3 or 4 songs at a time, or give me one song.
I get that.
Yeah,
I get that. So taking that approach this time around,
I'm gonna play a little bit of Fill Them Boots.
Heck yeah.
This is still the single right now, right?
Yeah.
Still newly working on this one.
Yeah, brand new.
Looking like you could use a brand new shoulder. Let your heart break. Take a holiday for a song or a drink or two anyways. I don't know him from Adam, but I'm kind of mad at him for the way he did you. Yeah, I could fit in boots. I could fit in boots. I could fill them boots if you want me to.
I was looking at some of the credits on this because I'm a big songwriter guy, and I see you, Josh Miller, Mark Trussell, Ernest Keith Smith. Is that Ernest?
Yeah, Ernest.
Ernest Keith Smith is Ernest?
Yeah, that's his name.
No idea that it was Ernest Keith Smith. Well,
when I first met him, it was Snow. Then it was Ernest Keith Smith. Then it was Keith Smith. Now it's Ernest. He's got a million different names.
Yeah.
I love him.
Ernest Keith Smith. He's got to go by
talented.
Three names, too, in his extremely professional environment. It's Ernest Keith Smith.
And he's
so
the best.
You guys go into, I'm always curious about when you go into a room, because, you know, if you get a good idea, you kind of jot it down on your phone.
Yeah.
Maybe you got a couple lines, maybe you just got a concept. And so, you know, you walk into the room, and who kind of comes up with what about Fill Them Boots, but it's a different, because obviously it's different than what you think of when you see the title of the song.
Sure.
How'd that come about?
Yeah, so I've only had riders out on the road with me for two weekends in my entire career, because I had just moved to a second bus, and I was out on my headlining tour. The first weekend was a guy named Will Bundy, who I like writing with here in town. He's great at making songs sound like they're already fully produced when you get the demo back. And we wrote a song called That's What Mamas Are For that I released on Mother's Day. But the second weekend I went out, I took Josh Miller. He's one of my favorite writers in town. Mark Trussell, same thing. He literally makes it sound like a record when you get a demo back. And then Earn was out on tour with me. And what I did was I told him he could ride my bus instead of getting in a van and doing that whole thing. Ride my bus every weekend, and we'll write when we can. And that was just a kind of a little agreement that we had come up with. And this weekend, I brought out Josh and Mark, and we wrote four songs throughout the whole weekend, and Fill Them Boots was one of them. I feel like I got three other good ones from the weekend as well. But we started this song late night one night after a show in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Didn't finish it. Josh Miller actually had the title, and he's super great about coming in with a concept, sometimes half written in a way. But yeah, we just had this title. We didn't really have any other idea around it, but we just kind of started freestyling late night one night, came up with the idea, the concept that we wanted to throw around it, and then finished it the next day in Detroit. And I didn't think much about it at the time. We got the demo back from Mark. Actually, Earn sang on the demo just there the day of when we got the demo back. Then I went over to Mark's house because I always like hearing myself on a song. That helps me decide whether I want to record it or not. And his demo for this song was really, really good. It's a lot different than same guitar part, but the rest of the track is a lot different than what we hear now that my producer Joey came up with. But a song that I've listened to over the quarantine, it never got old to me. And I kept asking like my team, I want to record the song. I feel it's never gotten old to me. It feels really good. It doesn't necessarily dive deep. You know what I mean? It's not a newly written concept. You're going to blow people's minds, but, it just felt great to me. And, everybody agreed. Everybody I played this song for really liked it a lot. I got in and I recorded it, and ended up being my next single. And I'm super proud of it, super excited to kind of have an up-tempo track, because my last, you know, three or four singles have kind of been in that mid state that kind of felt like they had a little bit of energy. But I would consider the song a tempo for me.
We've hit a couple more of these. Here's Tequila on a Boat with Dustin Lynch.
Tequila on a boat on a lake on fire in the tank. A girl with a smile smiling at me, me with my eyes on her in the heat.
So is this a you song or a Dustin song?
It's actually a Dustin song.
Okay, because I saw it posted on both accounts.
Yeah, so he called me on this song. I think he's had it for a couple years, to be quite honest with you. I think it was a song that Justin Ebach, Hillary Lindsay, somebody else, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting their name, were writers on. And I know he recorded it a while ago, and then I got the call on it about a month and a half ago, something like that.
And what did they say to you?
They just said, hey, we have this song that we want to put out in the middle of May, and we would love for you to throw your vocal on it. And I listened to it, and sometimes it takes me 10 listens to like love a song, but this is one of those songs that I heard for the first time and loved everything about it. Dustin and I have been on tour together. He actually took me out on his first ever headlining tour on the Hell of a Night tour. And that was back when I had just put out Fix and was just getting my start here in Nashville. And we've kept in touch. We became great friends just through that tour, kept in touch all these years. And very excited that he asked me to be a part of this song. I love everything about it. We've had many a days out on his boat, out on either Old Hickory or Percy Priest. I always get the two confused. So it just felt like it made perfect sense. I love summertime country music. That's what I want my brand to be. I'm a huge Kenny Chesney fan. A lot of people know that, but I love that summertime country music style, and I've really tried to make an effort to jump into that.
Does he call you himself, or does?
Yeah,
he does. He's like, hey man, because that's always a weird ask whenever you, unless it's already been agreed upon prior.
Sure.
Like, hey, yeah, we're gonna do the song. Yeah, if I hit you up about this, you're gonna do it. Yeah, and if it's like, oh man. I got a call now. I'm going to have it. It's always frustrating. And I'm sure you've had the same situation. Does he call and go, hey, man, you can say no.
Yeah.
Because that's usually how it's always led. Like, if you hate it, you don't have to. No pressure.
Yeah, it literally is that. It's like, hey, man, no worries if you don't love the song, but I would love for you to be a part of this. And you'll be singing that second verse if you choose to jump on it. And I listened to it and felt like it was a song that I would fit well on. And, again, I mean, super excited that I got to be a part of that. I mean, I'm still in the early parts of my career, and I think you want to find different ways to grow, and I'm thankful that he allowed me to jump. I consider him to be an incredible artist and one that I've looked up to, and just pumped to be a part of the song.
You ever say no? You ever get one and go,
Yeah, I've actually said no to a couple if it didn't feel like it made the most sense. I've said no for sure.
Summer job money. Can I play I'm not going to ask you who. Don't worry. I wouldn't put you in that spot. All right. Here is summer job money from Chris. 17 me would probably blow all of this summer job money on you. Baby, I want you. Yeah, yeah. Baby, I want you. This was the one where I saw the picture of, and you were like in your dad's lawn care, like sort of a spoof on that, right? Or was it really his business?
Yeah. So I'll say this. Yeah. So my dad still runs the business there in Kernersville, North Carolina, small business called Lane and Sons Landscaping. And when I graduated college, I assumed that I was going to move on and play professionally. My twin brother got drafted by the Reds, decided not to play. I did not get drafted. I had had several ACL reconstructions that kind of hurt my chances at that. I was still hopeful, but it didn't happen. So we both moved back to Kernersville, had no clue what we were going to do. And I had thought about training to become a firefighter at the time. And some of my friends had jumped into that. But my dad had this business that my brother and I jumped into, and we were both really good at the landscaping side of things, and I did that for a while. He paid us like $11 an hour. I remember stressing out because I thought to myself, you know, at some point I want to be able to settle down with somebody, start a family, all that kind of stuff. And I know he was doing the best that he, I mean, that was more than he should have been able to offer us, because it wasn't like he was making a ton of money. So we just jumped into that working, and then at the same time, I had started learning how to play the guitar and figuring out how to play and sing at the same time. And then fast forward, to make a long story short, fast forward all these years later, I'm in shock that all of this has happened for me. I feel like I worked really hard at it, but it was not something that I thought of in the beginning, because, you know, when you're from a small town, you don't think, or at least I never thought of, oh, one day I want to have a record deal and a song on the radio. It was not, I didn't even think of that because I didn't think that was possible. I wouldn't even know who to go to, or I'd really never been to Nashville, none of that stuff. So when I recorded this song, the summer job I had, I wanted to pay tribute to, which was landscaping for my dad's business. So I kind of brought that back with the whole summer job money, and I think it's a real feeling, something that, you know, when you have a girlfriend in high school or when you're 17, whatever it may be, a lot of those lines in the song, like you spend all your money on gas for the tank and beer for a high school party or at the concession stand, which was the line that kind of stood out to me that I loved the most. So, yeah, I kind of brought it back with the landscaping.
You talk about learning how to play guitar. It was after college that you picked up a guitar.
So
why would you? Like what would inspire you to grab a guitar you've never played to start at 22, 23 years old?
That's a great question. I actually started, so I finished college in 4.5 years. I had to go back for a half semester after baseball, just because of your hours and the amount of time that you can, you know, you're always gone when it comes to traveling for baseball and stuff like that. So I just needed that extra semester to graduate. So during all my downtime, I had to ask my parents the prior Christmas before for a guitar, and they bought me this $99 Fender guitar. And leading up to that, I would just, any extra time I had, I would sit there on the edge of my bed in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I went to school at, and I was learning how to play. And then that last semester, I started getting a lot better and learning some of my favorite songs. I mean, I was inspired. I'd been to a lot of Keith Urban concerts, Kenny Chesney.
Did it come to you easy, though? Because
it didn't, no.
Okay, I was probably 21, and I was like, I got to learn guitar to play, to do comedy shows. And I bought a chord sheet at Walmart, and it was horrible.
It's hard.
But you have such hand-eye coordination, as you were so close to being a professional athlete. I wonder, was it easier for you because you do control your body a little better?
Honestly, I don't know what it's like for other people, but I don't think so. I mean, the excuse I found myself making a lot was, my hands are too small. They won't bend the right way to do these chords. And now that I really know how to play, I'm like, how could I not do this before? But it really is just muscle memory. For anybody out there wanting to learn how to play the guitar, like, you can. You just have to actually sit down and practice it. I mean, as you know.
I mean, could you sing, though? Because all this, you're doing a lot of this at one time.
Yeah, so I always loved singing along to my favorite songs, but did I think to myself, I can sing? No, when we would go on trips for baseball and we'd be on the bus and stuff like that, I remember in college when we'd be on trips, singing to a few different songs like a cappella. My brother and I would do this on the bus, and all the guys always asked us to do this. So I thought to myself, I mean, maybe I'm better than I think that I am. So yeah, years into playing the guitar, I figured out how to play and sing at the same time. I mean, I would play every Eric Church song, Al Dean, Luke Bryan, I mean, Chesney, Keith Urban song that I loved. And I know I drove my roommates crazy in college because I was always playing the guitar and always singing, but I eventually got to where I'd go out into the garage and I would practice all day long. When I'd get out of class, like, it was just something I became very passionate about. And then they had this open mic night at this place called Boardwalk Billy's, which I have no clue if it's still there, in Charlotte where I went to school. And they did an open mic night.
Did you take anyone with you? Or did you go by yourself?
No, it'd be me just on my acoustic. I knew how to play a handful
of
songs.
But any friends, I'm saying, did you have any friends in the crowd to kind of hype you up?
Yeah, so I will say this. I think her name is Megan. She was in a sorority, and she loved country music, and she had a great voice as well. And they would give me about a handful of songs. So I would play three, whether it be an Eric Church song or Al Dean or Luke Bryan, whatever it may be, songs that I knew the crowd would sing along to. I'd get her up there to sing a couple songs as well. And by doing that, all of her sorority sisters would come out to this bar and hang out. And it was always packed every Wednesday night. And I would get up there and do my thing. And when I would finish, people would always be like, oh, dude, you're great. I was the only guy up there who would ever play country music. And I think people really loved that a lot. And I kind of got lucky in that sense. But
what was the first time you did that, though? Because we jumped a little bit here. I'm anxious. Like, you're playing in the garage, you're practicing on the bed.
Yeah.
But what was the first time where you're like, man, I got to go do this in front of somebody?
I don't know what clicked, but there was a guy on my baseball team. I had heard the guy say, oh, he went up there and played this open mic night. And I thought to myself, well, if he can do it, I can do it. And I was nervous as all get out, but I actually went up there one night and did it and loved it. I think I started to crave that affirmation that I was getting from people. They'd always be like, when I'd finish, they'd always be like, man, you're so good. Like, I love what you do. Like, I'm so glad you play country music because nobody up here does. And I love that attention that it gave me early on. And it caused me to go back every Wednesday night, just in that last semester. So we're talking September, October, November, and I graduated in December. And when I moved back to Kernersville, we didn't have anything like that. There was no open mic nights anywhere, you know, small town. So my brother, twin brother, A lot of people don't know, but I have an identical twin brother.
I learned the hard way. I went up to him years ago. I was like, Chris. And he's like, oh, man, you got Amy.
Everybody does that. Yeah, so he, when we moved back home after college, we were living there at my parents' house. And upstairs, we went and bought this drum kit because he was like, well, I'll learn how to play the drums and I'll play with you while you play guitar.
And what age was this for him?
I mean, what are you, 21 or 22 when you graduate? Somewhere in that.
So he started drums at 22 as well.
Yeah. Yeah, not long after I started the guitar. And we would just sit upstairs at my parents' house and play all the songs that we loved. And he would figure it out just like I was kind of figuring it out along the way. And for whatever reason, I said, you know what? I want to start a cover band. We'll play all of our favorite songs. But you can play drums. I'll find a guitar player somewhere. Never happened for a while. So it would just be me and him. But the first show that I ever had at this place called J.P. Looney's in High Point, North Carolina, I went to book my own show. I just wanted to get a show playing in front of people for an hour. You know what right. I mean? I knew 10 songs maybe. And I go in, I ask the guy, hey, I want to play a show in here. I feel like I can pack this place out. I was saying whatever I felt like I needed to say. And he said, yeah, all right, I'll give you an opportunity. I'd seen some of my friends play in this place. And he just said, the only thing is, like, you have to play a four-hour set, and you have to have a full band. We don't do acoustic shows. And I lied.
I lied and said,
yeah, no problem. So what I did leading into that night was I hired two buddies, two friends of mine that did not know how to play an instrument, to come on stage and act like they were playing for the show because I didn't want it to get canceled. Long story short, it was really bad. I was terrible. My brother was terrible. We played the same 10 songs like three or four times over. But because so many people showed up, I kept getting opportunity after opportunity to step in and play shows. And just like anything, the more you do something, the better you get at it. And that ultimately gave me a start. And then years in, I started trying to write my own music for the first time because I realized, hey, if I ever wanted to do anything with this, that's what I need to do. The songs weren't great. And somehow people showed up to the shows and they would sing it. And then a lot of the bigger clubs that all the national acts from Nashville would drive down and play, I could sell out on my own. So I'd built up this following there in the Southeast of, you know, Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina. And fast forward years later, that's what ended up getting me a record deal here in Nashville.
When did you decide, all right, I'm good enough now to go try Nashville where the Giants are?
I mean, I never thought that. I thought in the moment when people would fly out and watch me play, I remember I would go home after the shows and talk to my parents about it because I would be like, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen. I've never even thought about getting a record deal or any of that stuff. And now people are really starting to fly out to watch me play all these shows. And I think what happened was a lot of the booking agents were talking in town saying, like, who is this guy in North Carolina who's selling out all these shows on his own and booking them on his own and he's not signed to a record label? And I think that's what ultimately got me a record deal.
And your brother was like, hey, if you go, I'm going to go.
Yeah. So my brother had a child at the time. He had just had a child, Callaway. And I was moving to Nashville. And he's like, well, I started this thing with you. Like, I want to keep playing drums for you. And I think we thought, like a lot of artists think, like if you're not in town, you don't really know what to expect. I thought to myself, I mean, I'm about to move to Nashville. I could potentially have a record deal. Like, you're instantly famous. You're instantly rich. Like, all this kind of stuff. And for family's sake, for his sake, you know, I think he wanted to be along for the ride of that. And we learned the hard way that it takes a lot of time out on the road, playing nobody, exhaustion, traveling through the night, every night, driving yourself around, everywhere, but makes it all worth it in the end. You know, when you get to this point, and hopefully I continue to grow from here, but I was given opportunities to go out on tour with Florida Georgia Line and Rascal Flatts and all these people that I grew up going to their concerts, Brad Paisley, and it was honestly an unbelievable experience, and one that I'm still kind of, you know, getting used to now.
I'm going to roll through a few number ones here. Here is Fix from 2015. This is your first number one, right? Fix?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that hits in 2015. Now, it was until 2018 that you had another number one, which is I Don't Know About You, right?
Yeah.
Second one?
Okay. Yeah.
If my chronological order is wrong, stop me, but I think
no,
I have
right.
it. I think I have it here. So in between 2015 and 2018, though, like you have a hit. Are you just banging your head against a wall? Like I got, it's been 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically what happened was this. A lot of people don't even, I haven't really said this a whole lot, but when I first moved to town, I start working with Joey Moy, who is an incredible producer. You know, he produces Morgan Wallen, Jay Cohen, did all the old Nickelback stuff as well. I got into the studio with him early on, and because I had never been in the studio before, especially with a producer like that, I didn't really know what to expect, and I was not prepared for that. So I had a lot of learning that I had to do. I had to start taking vocal lessons. I never had a vocal lesson in my entire life. I started taking vocal lessons. And my sound was much different when I first moved to town than Fix and For Her, which were my first two singles. But what happened was I was going down a different trail, like music that I really loved a lot, that had more rock and guitar, all that kind of stuff. And I felt like that was my bread and butter. But when I got Fix came along, this was a song that I was friends with Jesse Frazier, Sarah Buxton, who was signed to Big Loud at the time as well. They had this song that they pitched me, which was Fix at the time. And it was so different than anything that I'd ever done. I thought to myself, I'm a young artist. It's hard to stand out when you first get here because there's so many incredibly talented artists. Maybe this song will help me stand out in a different way because it had the whole falsetto. It's not the first time anybody's done that in country music, but at the end of the day, it had it all over it. You know what I mean? And it was the first song in the studio that my producer had ever turned around and said, "What was that? Like, why don't you do that every time you get into the vocal booth?" For whatever reason, I took really well to that song and sang it well. And I think I caught him off guard. So I finished recording that song. We put it out. They decide in the moment that they wanted to start a record label, which is now Big Loud. You know, it's me, Morgan Wallen, Hardy, Jay Cohen. And I was going to be the first artist on the record label. And they asked me, they said, "Hey, do you want to go sign to a major record label or do you want to be the first artist on our record label?" And I thought about this. I'm like, there's 10, 15, 20 artists on these major record labels. Maybe this gets me a lot of attention and focus right out the gate, which it ended up being that way. I record the song. We decide to put it out as a single. I go on a 21-week radio tour. I found out the hard way from singing Fix and For Her and a lot of these songs early in the morning was really hard for me to do. Yeah, yeah, it's super high. And I got on radio tour and had to wake up at 3 a.m. just to start warming my vocal up every day, which was a really, I mean, that was one of the toughest times in my life. It's rewarding now, but at the same time, it was really hard. But yeah, right out the gate, brand new record label, first artist on the record label. I get my first number one. We all kind of know how that goes and how it works. Second single, which a lot of artists during this time frame, I feel like fell into, was you have that first number one. You can go out and do all these radio shows, all that kind of stuff, which really helps a lot. The second, a lot of people fell into this. That second single is a little bit harder to work. You know what I mean? You're kind of earning the trust of everybody. You can come with hits, all that kind of stuff. I think it makes it to number six, number five, something along those lines, which was For Her, but still that same style with the falsetto.
So For Her comes out, top 10
Yeah, it's a grind. We get it there. We get a top 10 song out of it.
You still play that live?
Yeah.
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 After For Her was Broken Windshield View?
No, Broken Windshield View was the first song that I ever recorded here in Nashville when I first got.
Was it ever a single?
It was never a single, but because I was out on tour of Florida Georgia Line at the time and Nelly on their like ballpark tour, I needed a song other than my, back in the day, I called myself Chris Lane Band, and all I could play were those songs. Or songs that I'd written here in Nashville but never recorded. So, yeah, Broken Windshield View was that first song that I put out just to have a song for people to go home and hopefully download and remember me by, since I was being given that amazing opportunity to be on tour with Florida Georgia Line. But
there's a clip. Oh, we got it all. Don't worry.
There we go.
We have everything.
That's a throwback right there.
You have... For Her, the hit top 10, and the song you did with Tori Kelly was also a top 10 song, right?
Yeah, so that was my third single, Take Back Homegirl.
I was surprised that did, honestly, I thought that was a really good song that didn't get as high as I felt it should have.
Yeah, thank you.
Why do you think it didn't?
Well, from what we were being told at the time, if I'm allowed to say this, I think because Tori Kelly was considered a pop artist at the time, I think a lot of people weren't necessarily down to play it.
That's weird.
So I think there were, you know, 10 to 15 stations that weren't necessarily about it. And, right. and that made it tough to get it to number one. We still got a top 10 out of it. I think it was number five or something around that. But it has been one, I mean, it's double platinum song. One of my biggest songs of my career.
It's a great song. It's one of those that don't hit number one, but that doesn't hit number one, but people still know.
Like, they scream it at the shows. At the end of the day, that's truly what matters the most to me. And it helped me take that next little stepping stone into my career.
Well, here we go. Another number one in 2018. I Don't Know About You. What's your name? What's your sign? What's your birthday? And then you followed it up with another one. Big, Big Plans. Two in a row.
Thank you.
So you have to feel now like, okay, I'm not... one number one and just a struggle. Like you got your feet planted now, right? You have to feel that way.
Yeah. I mean, a little bit, I feel that way. I think I Don't Know About You was such a big song for my career and the biggest song so far for my career that it really helped me take that next step in a way that I noticed at the shows. I went from selling X amount of tickets to now selling out every room that I play in. And I'm super thankful for that song because I actually almost didn't even record it. And that would have been a huge swing and miss for me. But yeah, it helped me take that next big step in my career. And then Big, Big Plans, which was a follow-up, was a grind, but it took a while. But it eventually got there and has been an incredible song for my career as well.
That's the last time I saw you, now that I think about it. It was you and Lauren came in the studio.
Yeah, it sure was.
That's right.
Wasn't that pretty close to when I put that song out, right?
I think it was, because I remember, I think it was right when you put it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it happened in the most organic, never even tried to make it happen kind of way, which I think is the best. I truly only had that song for her for that moment. I put like a little video to it. And I was hoping that people would like it, but I didn't think in a sense of here's my next single to country radio kind of thought, you know. It was just a good moment for us. And now seeing people take it and use it for their own little moment. Or for me, the best part about it was watching guys come on stage and propose every single night was a highlight of my tour and a highlight of my night every single night. Because what was your proposal like in the sense of, were you incredibly nervous when you went to do it? Like I blacked out. I don't even remember what I said.
I wasn't nervous when I did it. I was nervous that I couldn't pull it off because I had really been working. We have a barn.
You did it big.
We were away shooting my TV show, and we had to move people in before we landed. And then after we landed, I had to keep her busy as a whole other crew moved in. So for me, it was, I put in all this work, and I wanted to surprise her. So I was nervous that I wasn't going to pull it off. But once we got down and she was shocked, I was like, oh, this is money.
How'd y'all meet?
Her friend does PR for ABC. And so it was oddly an organic way in a really inorganic time.
That's meaning, awesome.
You know, I dated people and met on apps or whatever.
Sure.
But her friend that does PR, she did PR for me at Dancing with the Stars and at American Idol. And so she was like, hey, I'm going to be down because I went to when Lauren, Elena was on Dancing with the Stars, I was going to go support Lauren because I was in town. And she was like, hey, I'm going to be there, so I'll see you. Come say hi. So I just went and said hi. And Caitlin was with her. And she was like, oh, this is my friend Caitlin. We said hello. That was it. We didn't talk for like 4 months after that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So it was not, we didn't even go
out.
But
in that time frame, were you thinking about her all the time? Were you like, man, I really want to.
I was just like, yes, but we didn't talk. We said hello quickly. But
did you exchange numbers that night?
No, but honest to God, this is the truth. And I've never said this. The true story. I thought she was way too hot for me and I didn't want to get rejected. And so I didn't pursue it at all because I was like, you know what? She lives in Los Angeles. Well, little did I know, she's from Oklahoma and just moved to LA to go to grad school. Like, she wasn't an LA girl, but I'm like, all right, it's an LA girl, super hot. You know what? I don't feel like being rejected. So I just didn't.
But you're Bobby Bones.
Nobody cares. You know? Nobody cares.
Bull.
And so I finally got the nerve up to message her. I was like, because I was going back into town a few months later. I was going to be a guest on a game show called To Tell the Truth.
Yeah.
To Tell the Truth. And I was like, hey, I'm going to be in town. Hey, no big deal if you can't. It's like when you ask someone to do a song. You're like, hey, I know this may be terrible. You can say no if you want.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm going to be in town for one night to do the show. Do you want to have dinner? And she was like, yeah, sure. And then I was so late getting out of that recording. I was like 2 hours late. And I just knew she was
my gosh.
I know. And I was like, I'm so sorry. She's like, it's okay. I'm over at friend's house anyway. If it doesn't work, whatever. We're all good. And so we met. And then we went to like some chain salad restaurant. And I was like, oh, this is different. I didn't know I was going to get married immediately, but I was like,
same.
I was like, oh, this just clicks completely different than anything else I've ever had. Was that like you and Lauren?
Yeah, same exact thing. I mean, I don't know how you were before, but I had the mindset that I wasn't getting married. I think I've thought my whole life, and there's a lot of reasons to this, but I didn't necessarily want kids, none of like that whole thing. I think it was way different. Like, obviously, when we first met, it was at an iHeartRadio thing in Austin, Texas, like a
country
festival.
Fest, yeah.
And Lauren was just coming off the show The Bachelor, and she was kind of whatever you want to call engaged to.
Did she win?
She won the show.
You can tell how much I watched The Bachelor. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, was she The Bachelor?
I'm sure. I guarantee I probably watched that season. I don't remember because it's been so long ago. Yeah. But I think her and the guy she was engaged to at the time were presenting at this festival. So I played earlier during the day on the festival stage, and I was with Tom Pullman at night, and we walked over, said hello. There's a photo from that night as well, where I'm standing beside Lauren and I think Tom's in the middle and then Ben's on the outside. And it was kind of a foreshadowing photo. None of us obviously knew in that moment, but it truly looks like Lauren and I are together in this photo. But yeah, 4 years go by.
4 years?
4 years go by.
No, it was that long.
Yes, it was that long. And she became single. And
did you guys, how did you get back in touch with her?
I was in LA one night, I think recording my second record, and I had a few days off. I just played a show out towards that way, and we had a few days off. We were staying over at Sportsman's Lodge where they allow buses to park there in LA. And she swears to this day that she has no idea that I was even in town. I think she's lying, but she swears that she had no idea I was there. But she FaceTimed me out of nowhere. I hadn't talked to her in a long time. And she was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm in LA. She was like, no, you're not. I was like, yeah. She was like, you want to meet up? I'm telling you the fast version of the story. And at the time, I thought to myself, I mean, yeah, I do, but where are you at? And she was all the way out in Marina Del Rey, long ways away. I didn't want to get an Uber out there. She ended up coming up towards me. We kind of met in the middle, hung out for a long time that night, had a great time. And months and months later, I was going on a trip to the Bahamas with a few buddies of mine at this place that we love going to. And I randomly decided to ask her if she wanted to go. She said she'd go if she could bring a friend. We really hit it off on that trip, continuously called her when I got home. And then I feel like it wasn't that long afterwards. We're hanging out a lot more.
Was she in LA and you were here though still?
Yeah,
was
yeah.
She flying back and forth. You flying back and forth?
Yeah. So because I was always out on the road, she traveled here a little bit more than I went to LA. And then I said, you know what? Maybe I should settle down with her. I love her a lot. We have so much fun together. And it was just, like you said, way different than anything else I had ever experienced. And when it happened incredibly fast. I mean, I feel like a year later, we were daggone engaged, and now we're about to have a baby. It's nuts.
Same thing.
All the things that I said that I never wanted, like, I can't wait for now. And I think it does take that that special someone, if you will, to kind of change your thought and what you truly want out of life.
To me, it wasn't that I never wanted it. I honest to God did not believe it was real. I thought people were just settling and they would have to make up a story to say, oh, I just felt it, or movies and books. And I got to the point where I was, you know, 35, 36, 37 years old. And I was like, I've not felt anything like this.
Same.
And so I said it to her when I proposed, I was like, I never believed that love was real. Like, I just didn't. I thought it was something that people just made up to give their... But then for the first time, it was like, broom. Oh, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird how that happens like that. I mean, I'd watched my twin brother go through a tough relationship, and I thought to myself, good Lord, I don't want anything like that. but yeah, this is it was just way different. I mean, like you said.
And now she's about to have a baby. Her picture's on Instagram. Like, somehow she's able to, and I don't know anything about, I don't have a kid yet, right? We probably will have a kid the next year and a half, two years or something, I don't know.
Yeah.
But she has maintained physically the normal, then her stomach is like 7 feet long. It's awesome.
It's but it's crazy.
It's wild, because I've never seen a naked pregnant lady, right? So the only thing I ever see are when people are like, look at my belly. And so I'll see Lauren do that, and I'm like, wow, like, she looks great.
She looks the same with a belly.
I don't know what the right thing is to say, but it's like Lauren, boom, big belly. Yeah. Lauren.
I've said the same. It doesn't even make sense to me. But yeah, she's carried
them. How far is she?
I mean, it could happen any minute.
Oh, it's go time.
Yeah, I think her due date is literally right now. So we're nice. Approaching, either gonna have them on the day or maybe a little bit late. And I know she's ready for him to come out now.
Are you
getting uncomfortable for her?
More nervous or excited?
I think I'm more excited for sure. I was super, super nervous in the beginning. And I'll say this, I feel embarrassed to even say this, but one of the main reasons that I never wanted to have kids is because I'm a germaphobe. And I feel like everybody that I know that has kids, as parents, they're always sick because their kid's always sick. And I'm like deathly afraid of being sick. It's just one of those things that I hate more than anything. So I built it up in my mind all these years, like, I don't think I can have kids because they're always sick and I don't want to, you know, take on that. And I hear, like, once you have them, all that kind of stuff, you don't even think about it. You just, you know, kind of like with dogs, like whatever they go through, you help them out. You know what I mean? You don't even think. You just jump in there and do it.
It's weird. I wonder if, and you're way closer to this than I am because you could have a baby tomorrow, tonight, you know? But I wonder if, because people tell me the same thing, man, once you have a kid, it's all different. Everything's different. But I used to hear that about love too, and I didn't believe it until it happened.
Yeah.
And so I can't personally feel yet how it's going to be to have a kid, and you really can't either. But for the first time, I do believe they're probably right.
Yeah, 100% they're right. They're right. And with, I've been trying this whole time, I mean, kind of on purpose, but not on purpose. I just wanted it to be a nice little letter to him when he can understand music. But I wrote him this song recently that I'm thinking about recording called Ain't Even Met You Yet. And it's about the real feelings that as a father I was going through in the moment. And it truly is the most exciting time in my life. And I know I'm about to come into, from what all my buddies tell me, the most exhausting time of my life, but I've never been more ready for anything in my entire life.
Dang. You guys are really funny on Instagram. Did she ever, was this, you guys, does she ever have a dream about you and then you're in trouble when you wake up? Does that ever happen with you guys? Because that happens with Caitlin all the time. She'll have a bad dream and I'll do something in the dream and then she'll wake up.
You're
and,
in trouble.
And I have to like get back to even and I didn't do anything wrong.
That's hilarious.
I just want, like her, when she's pregnant, does she have any of that like crazy dreams or anything like that happening?
Yeah, I mean, no, but she along the way, like just throughout our relationship, I feel like she's definitely had those dreams where she's like, I'm sad. And I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, I had a dream last night that you cheated on me. And I'm like, what? I would never do anything like that.
Let me play a couple things here. From 2012, here is All I Ever Needed from Chris Lane Band.
Oh, my word.
From 2012, here is Let's Ride. Here we go. Come on, let's ride up through the countryside. Roll down your windows, let the air inside. Let's ride. What do you feel when you hear those back?
I mean, honestly, so nostalgic, but I'm like halfway embarrassed at the same, because it was the first songs that I ever sat down to write. No one ever told me how to write a song with All I Ever Needed. It was one of those things that I was such a big Keith Urban fan at the time. I thought to myself, okay, that was the first song I ever wrote in my entire life. I sat down with my acoustic and just start playing these chords. And I thought to myself, what would Keith Urban do? Or what would he say? And I didn't get it right. not even close. But that was my take on it at the time. And then The Less Ride was like one of those songs that... I just, my whole life, I've loved that Al Dean style, the Eric Church style, like the rocking guitars kind of thing. And that was my take on that. I just sat down and would play on my electric guitar in my room there, and I just started writing that song. And again, none of these songs are amazing or great, but at the end of the day, the mind-blowing part to me is that I sat down, I wrote those, had a buddy record them. They sound terrible, all that kind of stuff. But people would show up to the shows and sing them, and it ultimately got me to where I'm at now. Yeah. So I am, while I am mildly embarrassed of those, I'm also thankful for them because they got me at this point.
I have a bunch of questions that I always make a list of questions before someone comes in, because if the interview's really not going well, I'm just like, let me just go to the questions. I haven't asked a single one of these, which is a good sign, honestly. Yeah. So we'll do quick answers here because... Yeah. Well, just because. Let's see here. What was a better day in your life? Your wedding or winning a championship with Recoupables?
Dang. I just for my wife's sake, my wedding day.
Are you still? Can you still play? I mean, can you still play ball? Like, are you?
Yeah.
Are you elite out there? Out there.
Yeah. I mean, I can still. You know, I played center field in college. I can still track the ball down pretty good. And I'm not hitting with an incredible amount of power because I'm a small guy, but yeah, I can still hit it pretty decent.
You texted me a couple weeks ago. You're like, hey, do you want to fill in?
You were out in LA, weren't you?
I would if we were out shooting a show, but I was thinking to myself, because it doesn't matter what, I'll compete. I don't care what it is.
Same.
If it's tiddlywinks or softball, but I haven't played ball in 2 or 3 years at all. And I was like, you know what? I would have said yes, but I would have come back hurt and embarrassed, but dang it, I was going to say yes.
Dude, I pulled my hamstring numerous amounts of time out there just from, I'm like, good Lord, I'm getting old out here. But I remember from, it's been years and years and years ago, but we played in a celebrity softball tournament together, and I remember you being awesome.
No, awesome's not the word. Like, barely holding on to any sort of decent that I used to be. No. I used to be, I'm like... You know, I'm kind of like Toby Keith. I'm not as good as I once was. But one time, if you get me out there, I can be as good as I used to be.
Yeah.
Your old ACL injury, still give you trouble when it rains?
Not necessarily. I haven't experienced a whole lot of pain with that.
That's good?
Yeah.
Like, I broke a pinky. It still hurts 15
really?
Days later. Oh, if it gets cloudy, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm dying.
Yeah. Now, I will say this, like, from running around out there on the field and stuff like that, I do get incredibly sore for, like, 4 or 5 days afterwards. But I think that's age.
I saw you on Instagram. You posted a screenshot between you and your wife about a clogged toilet. And I think you had her name as... I think her name is Lolo.
Oh yeah, Lolo Lane. Yeah.
Why Lolo?
I don't know. I started calling her that when we first started hanging out, and that's what I saved her in my phone as, and I never changed it throughout all this time.
You get engaged, and Lauren has a ton of social media following because of The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
Do you get a lot of social media following, like residual from her?
You know what? I don't know the actual answer to that, but I do think it helped. I mean, The Bachelor Nation is a real, real thing. And even though it's been all these years ago since Lauren was on the show, she's still been able to I don't want to say stay in the public eye, but in a way, I don't know what else to call it other than that. And I think they've invested in her life. And because we're married now, I think that maybe makes them invest a little bit into my life as well, just from her. So, yeah, I think I definitely got a little bit of when we first started dating, I noticed that my followers grew really quickly compared to what they were. So, yeah, I'm sure I did get some spillover from that.
Any of those Bachelor Nation people, were they ever mean to you?
No, I've never had anybody be there's people who are rude and say weird things all the time, but I'm usually great about ignoring that. It doesn't bother me, none of that kind of stuff. But no one was ever rude. And I think the main reason is that they could see that it was real, that we had fun together, that it wasn't fake, none of that kind of stuff. And I think at the end of the day, people do love real love. They want to see people happy. But yeah, I think from that end of things, it was real from the beginning. And hopefully people saw that.
All right, I'm going to end with this. Because I know you opened for Garth, that he asked you to go out and you did a show before him. So I guess it's kind of a two-parter. One, before you play, do you say hi to Garth before the show at all? Does he come by and say what's up?
Yes, and I think, you know, everybody has great stories of Garth Brooks. And now I know on a personal level why. Because he didn't have to. He went out of his way. I think I'm allowed to say this, but I get into my dressing room earlier that day. And there is a whole table full of merch signed by him. And, I mean, as a huge fan, that is, you know, obviously incredible. I'm super excited, super pumped. Did not think that he would stop by and say hello, but him and Trisha both stopped by to say hello, stuck around for a while. We just sat there and chatted, and it was one of the coolest moments of my career. And I'll say this, he said, I heard you're a card guy. Give me your best trick. And I thought to myself, well, I don't know who you heard that from, but I'm not a card guy. I don't know how to do anything. He was like, well, good, because I am. And he pulled out a deck of cards and did this card trick that I feel like I'd seen people do before, but he was really good at it. He totally, like, jipped me. He got me. And when he left the room, I was just, you know, smiling ear to ear, thinking this was the coolest thing that's ever happened to me. Sorry about that. And one of my guitar players that played on the show with me, he was like, I know that trick. Let me show you how to do it. And something that I was so mind blown over, once I figured out how he did it, it cracked me up that he pulled that off and actually got me on it.
That's funny that Garth Brooks comes into the room, accuses you of being a card guy only because he knows you're not. And he goes, well, I am. And then does a card trick.
Yeah.
And then walks out.
It was awesome.
He's the best, though. Him and Trisha are both the best.
I also saw one of my other favorite artists, Keith Urban, and maybe he had heard me talk about him in interviews before, but I made eye contact right when I first got, I think I just put out Fix, but I made eye contact with him at, you know how artists go and do all the radio rounds, all that kind of stuff, for an award show. And he's across the room. We make eye contact. And he walked out of his way to walk over there and say hello to me. And I was incredibly nervous. I remember telling him the story about me going to his concert. And I was in the row. At the time, he would do this gag where he would play You Look Good in My Shirt. And he would always make his way into the crowd, and he walked up on an aisle, and I just so happened to be, this is before I started playing music, I just so happened to be in the row that he came to, and he gave his guitar away to one of the girls in my row a few seats down from me, and I'm telling him this story. I'm like, man, you're my hero, like, you know, you're my biggest inspiration, all this kind of stuff, and he gave me a hug, and he was like, buddy, patted me on the back, he's like, buddy, you need to get out more.
All right, listen. We've done an hour here. It's been a great hour. Follow Chris. I am Chris Lane. Heck, you can follow Lauren too, at Lauren Lane, but this is not about her. However, tell her I said hello.
I will.
It's just funny. You guys are hilarious.
We got to hang out, man.
Well, you're about
get
to have
the girls
baby.
Together.
All that hanging, you got about a year.
It's before true. It's
that's,
true.
That's, but tell her hello. Congratulations.
I will.
It's great to see you again. I know
good to see you
haven't seen a whole lot of folks
recently,
but I'm glad to have you over and good to catch up. Good luck.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
And you look good for your dog commercial. You look good. It comes in, and I was like, dang, fancy. No one ever gets dressed up for this. All right, you guys go check out Fill Them Boots. Follow Chris on Instagram, and I will see you soon.